fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to Season 5, Episode 5 from the Boys of 5. Great to be back, the Johnny and Josh podcast. I'm joined as always by JC and Eric. No Dave, though. No Dave, who unfortunately is otherwise engaged. No surprise there, boys.
Yeah, I'm convinced that he's doing a millennial trick. He's quietly quitting the show. So, like, this whole season, he's been, like, just, you know, saying, oh, yeah, I'm a part of it, but just sort of quietly kind of fading away.
And it's tough. It's tough getting four of us together. Two of you across the pond. Eric's all over the world. Jeez. Eric, what have you been up to, buddy? You just seem to have been everywhere in the last few months.
I'm getting the air miles in, that's for sure. I've already lost track. Canada, New York, Geneva, Lausanne, Montreux.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's better than where I've been to Port Elgin, Ontario, Stroud, Ontario, Morris, Manitoba. So those are not nearly as cool as you're looking.
Well, no, Josh has been in the air miles too. That's right. In his curling escapades and going up and down the U.S.-Canada border.
And what have I been doing? I've been sitting on a GWR train that's delayed yet again on my way from Bath to London, virtually nothing in between, or driving to Manchester and Liverpool. So, guys, you're living the life. You're living the dream. You're living the exotic dream. Talking of living the life, for those of you out there, JC is looking very tanned. It's all false. It's lighting. It's got nothing to do with reality. Because the buddy, my mate, my baseball brother, has climbed out of his bed, his sick bed, to be with us for the last episode of the season of the Johnny and Josh podcast.
What a trooper.
You got to rise when the bell rings, right? And I know the bell will ring. Eric's got a bell.
That I do. Which will be rung very soon if you don't hurry up.
Absolutely. Right. Well, let's move this on very swiftly. As always, guys, we need your help. If you do like us, hit the like button. Apparently, it has some positive impact. It'd be great for you to encourage others.
Yeah. This has had any impact at all?
It's all at the bottom of the screen. If you could subscribe and do check out, of course, the YouTube as well. It's down the bottom there. There, you know what it is. We don't need to worry about that. Right. Let's move on. Eric, trivia. What we're doing?
Oh, yeah. Trivia. Now, here it is. I'm going to keep it nice and brief. Okay, so this season's ended. And instead of talking about stats of grandeur or splendor, let us talk about strikeouts. So I'm going to ask you guys, which of these four batters have had the most strikeouts at the end of this regular season? All right, ready? All right,
just the regular season, not postseason.
Correct. Right. So they finished the 2024 season with most strikeouts.
JC, if that'll make any difference in my ability to know the answer.
Well, you never combine postseason and regular season in baseball. That's like a verboten.
Exactly. Only an idiot would think you did that.
Exactly. Right. So here are your four batters. But which one of these four have finished the season with the most strikeouts? Okay. Is it A, Brian De La Cruz? Okay. Or is it B, Ellie De La Cruz? Or is it C, O'Neill Cruz? Or is it D, Aaron Judge? Messing with your mind there.
Just a well-constructed final question from Eric. Good
stuff. All right. So once again, so who had the most strikeouts? Is it Brian De La Cruz, Ella De La Cruz, O'Neill Cruz, or Aaron Judge? Okay. Answer later on in the show.
Towards the end of the show. Right, let's move things on swiftly. I think you've got a bell to hit, a proud tradition.
Yep.
You've got the bell with
you? Yeah. Dong, there you go.
You haven't got a bell.
The microphone doesn't pick it up because anyway, just keep going.
Okay, right. Lead batter, given it's 2 weeks since the World Series, let's do a roundup. Kicks us off with a look back on the Fall Classic and of obviously a dominant Dodgers win. I predicted 4-2. I'm absolutely astounded that the Yankees couldn't win another game at Yankee Stadium, having obviously been swept in LA. Clearly the better team won. What's your thoughts, JC? Were you disappointed or actually it was pretty exciting? I was hardcore, by the way. I watched virtually every game live.
Yeah, I think what was so surprising, not surprising if you followed the Yankees throughout the course of the year, but surprising that a team could get so far with the defensive miscues that the Yankees had. That one inning, and you know, you talked about the fact that the Yankees could have won that second game. They really should have. It really was one inning of a complete breakdown. Physical errors are always okay. And any coach will tell you that. The players make errors, even at the major league level, that are physical. It's the mental errors that are really what kill you. And it's that play, the ground ball to Rizzo, to Anthony Rizzo, that Gerrit Cole should have been covering first, or Rizzo should have been really booking to get to first base.
Yeah.
Total miscommunication, total poor performance in the mental aspect of the game. And I think that was really reflective of why the Yankees really weren't the team that was going to win the World Series this year.
Despite the scoreline, Eric, 4-1, which sounds like it's really one-sided, you very kindly put together the stats of hits made, runs made. And I mean, it's really close. 25 runs to the Dodgers, 24 to the Yankees, 36 hits to the Yankees, 33 hits to the Dodgers. I think this is the stat that stares out, though. The Yankees, 5 errors over the series. And I mean, you just can't do that in a World Series. Not against what is clearly the best team in baseball.
That's what cost them. Exactly. And my prediction was going to be either it's going to be a 4-game sweep or it's going to go the full 7. Well, yet we went into 5 and it should have gone 6. I remember at one point thinking in the 5th inning, call up a buddy of mine saying, when I was at Yankee Stadium, saying, listen, it looks like I'll meet you at the bar later. This game's going to be over. There'll be no bottom of the 9th. They're going to go to LA and I'll be out of here in no time. I don't have to worry about post game celebrations and trying to get into the Dodger dressing room for interviews. But yeah, I had to stick around. So that's.
It's a tough life, buddy.
First world problems.
I don't know what you call it. It's not a humble brag so much as it is like the woe is me brag. Like
I could have been at the bar with my buddy. Lower East Side.
I have to travel again to Switzerland. Oh.
Okay, let's ignore Eric's first world problems. JC, I need to ask you a question. Everybody was getting excited. I mean, even people like me were getting excited the fact that this is the two biggest franchises, biggest payrolls, and this was good for baseball because in terms of viewing figures, that was going to be a big hit compared to if it was a small franchise team in the World Series. Now, looking at the numbers, average attendance, 50,500, over a quarter of a million people went to see the games. What were the TV numbers like? Did it live up to the billing as being the two biggest franchise teams in baseball?
Yeah, it did. And I mean, you know, it's not just about it being the two biggest franchises. You had the biggest stars on the biggest stage too, right? So you get Ohtani, you get Judge, you get those players who are then getting to play on the, you know, in the biggest games in Major League Baseball. So I think it was a combination. And the reason it was so successful wasn't just because it was Yankees Dodgers, two major media markets, because you also had Juan Soto, because you also had Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, the pitching, you know. I know the pitching wasn't great overall, but you had, you know, guys like Cole, Yamamoto. I mean, you had some great guys. So I think that's why it was an exciting sort of prospect to watch. Obviously, the series wasn't great as a whole, but they had some great dramatic moments. I mean, that grand slam walk-off home run from Freddie Freeman, it's the first time we've ever seen that in Major League Baseball. I mean, they talk about it. It's really road at this point. It's, you know, that we've hear trope where people talk about being in their backyard and pretending that you hit the walk-off home run in the World Series. We got to see it, you know, and it's trope because it's true. I know as a kid, I would dream of that. Every kid who ever plays baseball dreams of it. And Senator Eric dreamed of it. To actually watch it happen, it was exciting. So yeah, 4-1. But, you know, ultimately there was enough excitement in that series to make it riveting, in my opinion. I mean, Eric was there.
Buddy, I, as someone who didn't come to baseball till 1987, I dreamt of Freddie Freeman hitting a home run walk-off, but not in a Dodger outfit, not in a Dodger uniform. I had real mixed emotions. I mean, I genuinely jumped out of my chair and I was thrilled and I was cheering and go on Freddie. But I just felt incredibly sad. I just felt incredibly sad. He should never have left us.
What could have been?
All that aside, though, keep in mind what adds to that excitement, what adds to that drama was the fact that he had an ankle injury. It wasn't quite Kirk Gibson in 1988 with you know, hobbling on one leg, but he was pretty injured. I mean, in the last series, you know, it was questionable how far he was going to be able to play. And he, you know, had a few days off, came back to the World Series and was the best version of himself. It was impressive.
Yeah. Well, I think when none of us are in any doubt that the best team won. I'm interested to hear what Dave has to think, as obviously as a New York resident. So this is the words of Dave Lengel and his review of the World Series.
What a great experience it was being at the 120th World Series, especially when it came to New York, a chance to go back to Yankee Stadium where I hadn't been since 2009. What a dump, what a shithole. Place really isn't very nice. They did a horrible job with the place, and you can really tell it's a bad place to watch a ball game. That said, always happy to go to a World Series, always happy when Eric Jansen comes into town and we can go do our thing at a World Series. We went to Game 3. We had fun there. Place was packed with media from all over the world. That was a great experience, always is, seeing the sport covered from a variety of different folks and angles and languages. We encourage that. Of course, we want baseball to be a great big international success. And the series drummed up a lot of interest internationally. I can tell you that because I live blogged 3 games for The Guardian, and Game 3 got over 200,000 people clicking on. And that was the highest, I guess we can call it, rating or amount of traffic that we've had since the Cubs won in 2016. That live blog, Game 7, got over 1 million people clicking on. So this had a lot of interest internationally, even domestically. Actually, believe it or not, Guardian, 80% of the traffic was from the United States. So it's really caught on over here. But regardless of that, then the BBC called. We did 2 things for the BBC. So great to see spreading the gospel of baseball inside the UK, as we love to do, right? All of us. The World Series was great. I think the Yankees 5th inning was amazing. I love the 5th inning of Game 5. It was a lot of fun to watch. Watched every pitch with great interest. I would love to hear from Yankee fans about how they experienced the 5th inning of Game 5. I think that would be wonderful for me personally to hear. I just wonder what it would be like as a Yankees fan who hasn't won a World Series in 15 years to go through, you know, the 5th inning of Game 5. That must have been an incredible experience. Other than that, the Mets probably finished runners-up because the Yankees are probably the 5th, 6th, or 7th best team in all of Major League Baseball. American League was garbage. They beat the Royals. They beat the Indians. Garbage. The Phillies are better than the Yankees. The Mets are better than the Yankees. The Braves are probably better than the Yankees. I think the Brewers were definitely better than the Yankees. The Dodgers, we know, were better than the Yankees. The Padres were better than the Yankees. A lot of teams better than the Yankees. Really, they weren't very good. They had a very hot streak in the beginning of the season, and more or less, they were .500 from there. So, congratulations to the Yankees for finishing in 5th place. And World Series was great.
Well, what a surprise.
On the fence.
Yeah. I mean, we should highlight, for those that are listening that don't know that Dave's a Mets fan, obviously we knew he was going to give the Yankees a kicking. You know, kick a man when he's down. Typical David Lengel. My God, he really is vocal, though, isn't he? I mean, does he have a point? They did finish with the best record in the American League.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, you know, obviously it's Dave amplifying and giving a little bit of hyperbole. That's his schtick. So respect for that. You know, they were a very good team. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, unlike the Dodgers, where their core is going to stick together, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this team when Juan Soto goes. I mean, he was such an essential, central part of that. You know, will Volpe get better at shortstop? I mean, I think that they have enough to be a competitive team. I think the one thing he's right about, the National League is the stronger league in the moment. Yeah. So, you know, and that can easily realign each year because of free agency. But, you know, if the National League continues to be the stronger team and they're in the weaker league, they've got the money to always compete. So, you know, a little bit of hyperbole, but, you know, as always, Dave speaks a lot of truth as well, too.
Hey, buddy, they may be the stronger league, but they still can't win the All-Star game. Anyway, let's move it on. Right, batter two is up.
Wait, let me finish. I want to
sorry,
talk about.
Eric. I'm sorry, buddy.
I guess when I put it in the script, ask Eric about.
Was it in the script?
Yes.
Did it? What was Eric's thoughts? There you go.
Okay, so being at Yankee Stadium for games 3, 4, and 5. Thank you for asking. I have been to many. I've never been in. You know, seen so much media presence as at this event. And I've been to Olympics and I've been to All-Star games, the Stanley Cups, and all this. But this was, think about it, the 2 biggest TV markets in Major League Baseball. And throw in the Latino press as well, because, of course, the Dodgers have a big following. of Spanish speaking commentators were had to be there and all that. And of course, the Japanese media. I
Yeah.
counted, and I at least there were 12 Japanese cameramen on the field for batting practice.
Wow.
Yeah, 12. So Justin's, I mean, in the past, I've seen just 12 cameramen, period, on at batting practice. So was Josh whenever he did the World Series, but just Japan on their own, bringing a crew of 12 cameramen just to cover the World Series and Ohtani was unbelievable. So I've never seen anything like it, and maybe we'll never see anything like it since. Well, you never know.
And how ironic that he didn't have that good a series.
Well,
Yeah,
but keep in
exactly.
mind, he basically dislocated his left
Yeah,
shoulder sliding
true.
into
Yeah,
second
and
base.
they still followed him. They still sent 12 cameramen to see
What was
shoulder
really
watch.
fascinating is the scuttlebutt was that his teammates wanted him to play even though that he was, maybe 50%, if even
Yeah.
that, because he's so talismanic in terms of his role in that team. And even though he didn't swing it the way you said, Johnny, there is something to the chemistry of having
Yeah.
a player like that showing up and playing even when they're not fit.
Well, and that's as if we need reminding, the first player ever in the history of the game to hit 50 plus home runs and 50 stolen bases in the same season. I mean, an extraordinary achievement. We
Now we
should.
can move on.
Right, okay, second batter up. Right, we're going to talk trade talks here, guys. What are the rumors? There's all sorts of big names out there, isn't there? Alonso springs to mind.
I mean, I think more free agency than trade talks, Colby.
And
And agents.
bit of everything.
Fair
Yeah,
point.
there's free
No, it's a
agency.
fair
There's,
point.
yeah,
I'm
that's
just
true.
sticking to the script here, JC.
Winter meetings are coming up, so there's trades. There'll be free agency. There'll be everything.
Juan Soto is getting a lot of discussion on the fantasy baseball group, the lads that we put together all those years ago. And they're all talking about where they think he's going to end up. Most of the team, I think, he'll stay in New York.
I mean, the Dodgers are talking about trying to figure out payroll for him too. The Blue Jays are talking about him. I mean, he is the gem out there, right? The best player, certainly, still in his prime. Tremendous talent, a lot of energy and charisma. I think whoever gets them, it will definitely enhance that team. So I think he would be number one on anybody's list in terms of free agents. I think the problem is there are some good pitchers out there, guys like Blake Snell. But the issue is health. And I'm always very reticent about splashing the big money on pitchers because of the health issue, and especially guys like him and Shane Bieber, who are both, at their prime, excellent pitchers. I mean, Snell at his prime is as good as they get in the big leagues. But whether he's going to be healthy, whether those guys are going to be healthy are a question. And then Alonso, the guy's coming off of basically two back-to-back down years, but, I think that if he leaves New York and he gets into the right situation, he could be back to that 40, 50 home run type of player.
Even the
You
Red
know,
Sox are talking to him, so
is that right? Is that
that would
right?
be as scripted.
I do have to say, guys, do you not think that the value of pitchers is a bit elevated at the moment because so many seem to get injured that to have a pitcher that's one, talented and two, healthy. Suddenly, their value seems to be enhanced just simply because the demand is getting greater and greater and the supply is getting less and less.
Right, but it's number two that makes it me would be make me so trepidatious to go after a pitcher, which is that
Yeah.
health is not a foregone conclusion for any pitcher nowadays. I mean,
Yeah.
Tommy John surgeries are coming on at a greater rate than ever. The way they're worked, the way they're prepared, it's just and the way the mechanics are in order to torque your body to throw the high 90s regularly, it almost seems inevitable for almost every pitcher that they're going to break down at some point in their career. So you're going to give them a 5-year contract and expect 2 to 3 years of those to be rehabbing from some sort of major injury. That's why I would be very concerned about spending the big money on the elite pitchers. It's finding that next level where you're spending the money, but not quite that level.
Yeah. Eric, your favorite player, our dear friend Akil Baddoo. Am I right in saying that he's going to be a free agent? Is that
No,
true?
but I just thought, like, maybe he should be on the trading block. Juan Soto for Akil Baddoo, you never know.
Yeah, well, I've heard McDonald's are employing, so maybe. Might be him in the chat.
Our guy.
By the
Come
way,
on, he's really struggled. That was a, I mean, maybe
and
it's a
you
bit
kind of feel
cruel.
for him. He gets sent down to Toledo 2 days before the playoffs begin. In their minor league system, and then they go in the play. So he wasn't involved in the playoffs at all. But had the Tigers won the World Series, if they would have won just Rose, I know that was a big if, but they made the playoffs, he would have got a World Series ring. So, you know, it's he was part of that team that made it to the
And
minors.
even more than that, get, you know, probably a share. I had a guy I knew who played for the Rockies, went to the World Series in 2004, but Jason Hirsch wasn't a big major leaguer, but he got enough money to put a down payment on a house just from his playoff share, and they didn't win the World
Wow.
Series.
How does that work, Josie? Do they get an even share or do the superstars get the bigger share?
You vote on it. So you can give half shares, you can give quarter shares, and the team
Right.
votes on sort of what a player should receive. So even if you get a portion share for a lot of those players, it's, you know, especially back then, you know, as much as your salary for the year. Now, you know, you're making $1 million if you play a full season, almost $1 million if you play a full season in the big
Right.
leagues. So.
Yeah, but you turn up to work and you find out you've got a tenth share. There's no hiding from the fact that your teammates don't rate you. I mean, that's
Well,
brutal.
it's usually based of time on the
Okay.
roster. It's not like, oh, you hit a buck 25, so we're giving you less of a share.
We should have done that at Channel 5. We should have decided each other's wages. Mind you can't do a fraction of a number so small. I mean, it's just an irrelevance, really, is. Let's be brutally honest. Okay, is there anybody else? Have we missed anyway? I think Alex Bregman is he
Yeah,
going to be a free agent? I think he is, isn't he?
it's pretty safe to say he won't be an Astro. I don't know that that's on his final and their final playoff game. They pretty much already gave him a send off. But yeah, I can't see. I mean, I don't know
I
where
mean,
else he's going to go.
it's going to be interesting. You know, he's a Golden Glover, but third baseman, I don't feel, I mean, there have been some examples in recent years of some third baseman, you know, getting pretty good salaries, but you don't get the same sort of money. And his numbers overall, while good, are not, you know, at the elevated level. The guy
Yeah.
who I think is kind of interesting is Paul Goldschmidt, right? He's 36, I think, right now. Like, he's a good type of buy in my mind because I think you could get him in like a 2-year contract. Hope that you know, catches fire from what he had a couple of years ago and
Yeah.
still be able to squeeze out some, you know, value for money. Whereas all these other guys, it's with the exception of Soto, it's a little bit more of a gamble because of the amount you're gonna have to splash.
Josie, I had him in my fantasy baseball team. He was not value for money this season, but I see your point. He's one of
You
those
buy
players.
low, Goldie. Come on,
You
you're the
buy
king of
low.
buy low.
Yeah, but, yeah, well, I think we all know that's not the case, but there you go. Okay. One other thing I do want to pick up on, the whole Tampa story, homeless in Tampa. According to this, raised to play the 2025 season at the Yankee Spring Training Field in Tampa. It's only an 11,000 capacity. Are they going to fill even 11,000 the way things are going?
Yeah, they're going to fill 11,000. I think what's interesting about that is, and this happens in college sports as well too, when they rebuild stadiums, which happens often in the college game. But if you're a free agent, like, do you want to go and play, you know, 81 games in an 11,000 seat stadium? Now, they're never really big free agent players, but
Yeah.
like, I sort of think like that makes them even a lesser player in that field when this is what you have to offer for next season.
And for those who don't know, Johnny, maybe you want to do the backstory of why Tropicana Field is not available.
Yeah, well, of course, it was the roof got ripped off, isn't it? And
During the
I mean,
hurricane, that's right.
during the hurricane, so there's some serious damage. But they're talking about how long it's going to take to repair. I'm a bit bewildered
A whole season, I know.
like a whole season to repair a roof. Have they got some of the local scaffolders down for a bath? I mean, what's going on, Josie? Is there more to this than meets the eye? Is there more substantial structural damage?
It's a massive stadium. The roof came off. I know it looks like it was a baggy roof, but it takes work. Just want to add that it will be an interesting season for baseball with the Rays playing at the minor league stadium for the Yankees there in Tampa. And then, of course, the A's playing in Sacramento. So you have two major league teams playing in minor league stadiums in the same season. I can't recall the last time we've seen something like that.
Well, I was looking at some of the messages on the WhatsApp group from for our rookie league fantasy baseball with all the boys that joined in there, Rolf and Sim and Ed, etc. And they were talking about this. They said it's only a fabric roof, so it's got fabric roof panels that actually need replacing. And the same thing happened at the O2 here in London on a smaller scale, and they'd literally fixed it in weeks. Why is it going to take a year? I can't get my head quite around that at all. So I'm thinking there must be more significant damage done.
It's a conspiracy theory.
It's a conspiracy. There was some rumors about, in terms of where would they play, There was some talk about Montreal, I read somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But Olympic Stadium, they couldn't do. They're redoing Olympic Stadium, right?
The irony is they're redoing the roof, the fabric roof of Olympic Stadium right now. Yeah. So,
Okay.
but yeah, but to cap to lead on from what Josh was saying, a big shout out to Oakland A's fans and the city of Oakland. It is a sad state of affair that we actually had to say goodbye to Oakland.
Yeah, it's commiserations more than anything.
Yeah,
It's
it's just it's and I know we were supposed to talk about this later on, but I thought this is where we could talk about it. Is Rob Manfred, sh should be? Does he have blood on his hands with this whole fiasco? He could have done better. I don't know.
100%.
Well, do not think one, huge credit to the fans for keeping the love, and two, I thought they were, when you consider what was going on, I thought they were going to stink the place up. And they played some half decent competitive baseball. There was some pride in their performances. And this is a young team, an unheralded team. I've got a lot of respect for what they did last season.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100% agree, Goldie, for sure. I mean, they were fun to watch. They had some exciting, dynamic young players. Rooker's a good player. It's hard though once they move to root for them still though. When they're in Vegas, it's just like,
Here's my
I
conspiracy theory. They're going to end up back in Oakland somehow. Somehow something will be done.
like the
Las Vegas.
Raiders who went to Oakland, LA,
Exactly.
Vegas,
They'll be
Vegas.
back. Yeah, that's what you heard it here
Fingers crossed.
first.
Fingers crossed.
Moving
Fingers
on.
crossed. Right, let's move it on. Batter three. Favorite moment of the season. And I'm meant to ask you first, JC, but before I'm going to move on, Eric has written on my script here. Start off with Braves collapse. What collapse?
Well,
A
now you
team
read
that
the
was
script.
devastated, devastated by injury, made the playoffs against all. You lose the number one pitcher in baseball before the season's even started. You lose the number one hitter in baseball 3 weeks into the season and still make the playoffs. That is not a failure, mate. That is not a collapse. That is a unbelievable achievement. And I love my Braves and I'm incredibly proud of the 2024 version. So stick
Wow.
up, yeah,
So
Brave.
in your honor, Gouldie, I
Yes.
could have easily gone with the second game of the London series, which was an amazing game. I
Yeah.
believe that turned around the season for the Mets, that
Yeah.
win.
No,
But
totally agree.
I will actually go with the extra final day of the season, that doubleheader between the Mets and the Braves. Some of the most exciting baseball I personally have seen in a long time.
Which
I
remember
mean,
we were all watching it. We were all messaging each other. It was unbelievably exciting.
it was
Unbelievably exciting.
fantastic. And when baseball matters, you can feel it, really. And that was an example that day of those games and so much back and forth, Lindor home run. It was a fantastic day of baseball. So I'm going to go with that in your honor, no matter what
Thank you,
Eric
buddy.
wrote
I
for me in
appreciate
the
that.
script.
You're a true baseball brother. Let's go to the other guy. What's your name again? Eric,
Yeah.
what's your thoughts? What's your
Well,
views
my
on
highlight, of course, was the collapse of the Atlanta Braves. And
that?
no, my highlight was actually that I was proven wrong by my beloved Detroit Tigers. Josh even tipped them to, I said it'll be a miracle if they even made the wild card. And when the Tigers got rid of Flaherty, I think that's it. They've traded away the wild card, and somehow they made the wild card with the second lowest payroll in baseball.
Yeah.
And
Not, weren't they my dark horse? I think something like that. I know
you actually picked them to be the AL Central,
Oh,
while
there you
Johnny
go.
picked the Chicago White Sox. And
No, I didn't. No, I did
no,
not.
you did not.
I may not have had very good predictions this year, but that was not one that I made. That's very naughty. That's very
But
naughty.
yeah, anyways, so that's my. I mean, I my favorite race was me being all doom and gloom the entire season to all of a sudden, oh my God, the Detroit Tigers are in the playoffs, and didn't they do well?
And add to that, they did it in a year where it was a renaissance for the American League Central, where you had the Royals the best they could be, the Guardians the best they could be. I mean, it wasn't like a typical AL Central year where everybody really stunk it up and they somehow snuck it in. They played in arguably one of the best divisions in baseball.
Yep, exactly.
Well, guys, before we get to find out what Dave thinks, I want to share with you the fact that when you sent out this suggesting that we do our standout memories of the season, our favorite and our worst. I went to the WhatsApp group that I'm on with all the lads from the rookie league, and I said, boys, thoughts on the favorite moment of the season, least favorite moment of the season. I'm just going to read a few out for you. Downsy came back with Freddie's walk-off as his favorite. Bit obvious, I know. Walk-off home run, grand slam, phenomenal. And he said, Mike trying out for the season again. Was his downside. Sim, this is an interesting one. Cam Boosa, the journeyman pitcher, making his MLB debut. We covered this, didn't we? 11 years after he was drafted, and after stepping away from the game to work as a carpenter for 3 years, and being so overcome that he finally made the grade, that he was in tears in the dugout afterwards. A wonderful moment. I mean, that's what the game's all about. What a great
Indeed.
spot that is, Sim. Love that. That awful Yankees fan was his downside, grabbing at Mookie's glove and then being celebrated across the internet for acting like a brainless ape. And then I think he got interviewed. Didn't they get interviewed, the two of them, on ESPN, JC?
He is honestly the microcosm that all is wrong in the world right now. Like,
Yeah.
that we hold that guy up, it's sort of reflective of many aspects of our current world, that makes me drop my head and shake it, sadly.
Yeah. I'll see if I can get a couple of others. Got Ed, who's a big contributor to the WhatsApp group, really funny guy, with the lovely Lucy. Having a proper World Series with the best team from each league, especially given the classic matchup, which hadn't happened for 40 plus years. Ed is a man who hates the playoffs, hates the wild card, thinks all of it should be done away with. Just whoever finishes top of the American League should take on whoever to finish top of the National League. So he's probably retro. So the fact that he got actually the two teams that were top of the two leagues, he's happy as Larry. Anyway, great answers, really great answers for the boys. Two more guys. The Freddie Freeman, incredible mixed emotion, but I was just so pleased for him to get that's my highlight, to get the MVP, to perform, as you say, JC, when he was, carrying an injury, just being the absolute legend, the calm, resilient leader that he always was for us and clearly is for the Dodgers as well. So, yeah, I'm
Yes,
thrilled
he,
for him.
I just very quickly, I think the most poignant part about that was that he was asked, what was that home run all about, like in terms of meaningfulness to him. He said, that was for my dad, who pitched batting practice for me every day in the backyard when I was growing up. And just that whole idea of the father and son, doesn't have to be a father, doesn't have to be a son, the parent and the child playing baseball is really at the center of the game.
Did you see the video on the internet of him out with his kid trick or treating?
Yeah,
Did you
it was
see
yeah,
that?
so any
Yeah,
so Freddie Freeman
someone's
just
justice him. Did somebody just and he went off and the kid didn't realize it was
Let's
classic.
hear from David.
Okay, well, there's one person's opinion that we still need in terms of the highlight of the season. And guess what? We don't have to take a recording because he's just joined us. Big
You
David
don't need a
Akel.
recording. You got it live right now.
Live from the
It's
bleachers of New York.
happening. It's happening. I'm in the bleachers. You can see that there's a flag football practice. My son is in the final four of 11-year-old flag football. And so
Love
I have a
it.
minute to tell you about my Mets season. Is that what you want to know about?
Yes, good.
Yes.
The floor
Okay.
is yours.
Okay. Here's the quick thing about the Mets. The Mets started out, as we know, they actually lost their first five games. And by the end of May, they were a complete and total disaster. I think it's Jorge Lopez, I believe, threw his glove into the stands after he was frustrated at the end of the game against the Dodgers. I was sitting there watching this happen on a Wednesday afternoon. The only reason anybody was in the stands because Ohtani was there. And that was rock bottom. I think they were like 11 games under 500. So then they have a team meeting. Everything changes on a dime. The Mets run wild. The rest of the way, nobody can believe it. The expectations were like, hey, this is a transition season. Uncle Stevie said, hey, this is a transition season. David Stern said, don't worry about the season. It's about next year. Next thing you know, they're on a rampage and they had the best record in baseball from June 1st towards the end of the season, I believe. And they wind up making the playoffs in dramatic fashion with a big Lindor home run. Against Atlanta the Monday after the regular season in the first game of a doubleheader. You think that's the biggest hit we've seen in the organization in a long time. And then comes game three against Milwaukee on the road, Mets down to their final out. And Alonso hits a two-run home run to give the Mets the lead. And eventually they got that insurance run and beat Milwaukee. Next thing you know, they're beating Philadelphia and they're playing the Dodgers. So this season, one of the best we've ever seen in franchise history. Now, what happens? We don't know. There's expectations now.
You got to the National League Championship Series. You've got a deep-pocketed owner who was punting to this season, which we're at now. Does that mean he's going to go out and get Soto? Does that mean he's going to sign Alonso? Does that mean he's going to sign Burns? We have no idea what's going to happen. We'll see. But, man, what a ride. I'm just happy that, we got to watch it. And it was just fabulous. Every second was better than the previous second.
Dave, could I say, despite the fact that Mets are big rivals of my team, the Atlanta Braves, I've known you over 25 years. I have never known you this upbeat, this positive. And as a Braves fan, I want to say it's a joy. It's a joy
Isn't it
to
a
see.
Joy?
Oh, it's fabulous, a joy. Buddy. I'm
it's
so happy for
it's
you.
It's unsettling.
Well, it's just like when the owner says, hey, guys, don't even worry about the season. It's a mess.
Yeah.
We're just going to reset. And then they hire a manager you never heard of. And then you lose your ace, Kodai Senga, who winds up pitching one game and then a couple of innings in relief. And then you've got a bunch of other guys who you have no expected rotation. You were just wondering how they were going to get through all the innings, let alone put together this rotation that, by the way, would go deep into games like old school. This was what was so exciting about every night is like Manaea would go seven innings. Quintana would go seven innings, even more.
Yeah.
Severino. These guys would just go deep in it because the bullpen was such a mess. They had to cover it up. And we're just not accustomed now to seeing pitchers pitch like they're supposed to pitch,
All
which
right.
is deeper into games. And it's like we got the other half of our game back. We have okay. lost half of our game.
You can't give a man who's on a roll in New York we sitting in the bleachers.
He's I know, but it's like, this is supposed to be zippy.
No, this is a big point. We've talked about this. The starting pitcher and the narrative of the starting pitcher who takes the team on his back and goes deep into games and provides stars. We have lost that part of Major League Baseball. And even though the Mets didn't have stars, they brought it back in some way last year. And that was a bigger part of the joy.
Well, Dave, okay, well, long make
it. I know Josh agrees with me on that.
100% agree. I'm just excited you showed up for this. I was talking about how you were quietly quitting this podcast.
No.
We thought you were the Gary Lineker.
You do it at the wrong time. You do it. You can do it in the middle of the day. I can't, Saturday, Sunday. Now you're on a Friday at least, but I had to go in the city. But yeah, now it works out. I'd love to do this every week. I love it.
All right. Too bad season's over, though.
Don't go anywhere because we still got the seventh inning stretch to do. So
do you have time to stick around or what?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right.
Excellent. Right.
Okay. Let's cue the organ.
Yeah. Seventh inning stretch. Fabulous stuff. Right. Okay. Great to have the fourth Musketeer in the lineup. That's the way to finish the season. Right. Baseball book of the week. Who we got?
All right. Everyone says, except for Josh Chetwynd, that you should have ball four on your baseball bookshelf. It's from Jim Boughton, a central reading, ball four. Breaks down the fourth wall about what happens in the clubhouse and behind the scenes at a Major League Baseball club. But this one's not as well written, but I'll still recommend it. It's called A Damn Near Perfect Game, written by, well, kind of like written by Rob, what's his name, Rob Bradford, but is Joe Kelly of the, the famous
is that
pitcher.
The Joe Kelly?
The Joe Kelly.
My Joe Kelly?
Well, or the LA Dodgers Joe Kelly, or
I love that man.
Red Sox
I love
Joe
him.
Kelly. So he's written this book called A Damn Near Perfect Game. Yes, I say go out and get it. It's fun. He talks about stuff that you would never really know about behind the scenes at in the clubhouse, et cetera, and what happens behind the scenes. But then Josh might say, that breaks the sacrosanct. You should never.
Oh, bollocks. Well, Josh, did you read it? Did you read it?
That wasn't my issue. That wasn't my issue with
you. Read it, Josh? You read it?
Well, not the Joe Kelly book. I've read both.
Okay.
My issue with the book was not that he broke down the fourth wall, but that he conveniently left out probably all his indiscretions and threw the rest of his team under the bus. If you're going to do that, you got to own some of it too. And that book, he owned, in my opinion, very little of what he probably did while really, shoveling the dirt on his teammates. And that's
Josh, nobody owns anything they do. Where have you been the last 7,000 years?
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it either,
but that's
why I sit in my corner angry.
We're old school. And I love the idea that Josh would actually hate something that breaks down the fourth wall, given the fact that Channel 5 baseball, that all four of us were such a key part of. That's all we did for 12 long
Yeah,
years. We broke down every wall.
Think about all the times we could have thrown you under the bus for your many, many indiscretions.
Oh my
excuse
God.
Me. Excuse
right,
me.
Dan?
What about the
Dan,
time
am I
I,
right?
excuse me. What about the time I went to the toilet? And I suddenly heard my earpiece. We're coming back to the studio, and I
Yeah.
come running back. And Erica sent the cameraman into the toilet to film me, clearly being caught short.
And
That is a
rightly so.
man throwing me under the bus.
Well, that's why Eric likes ball four.
And that's
Because
great
he's
at
the
that's
one
great
that's yelling
answer.
out his
That's good.
friends.
That's good television, also.
Exactly. So, anyways, a damn near perfect game written by Joe Kelly. It's
I love
good
Joe
fun.
Kelly. I just want to say that Joe Kelly is amazing. All that shit he did against Correa or whatever
Carlos
everybody.
Correa,
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
the best. The best.
The half the
Mr.
book is about his yes. It's the, there's the pout. The pout is on the book. There it
Oh,
is.
the best pout of all time.
Anyways, that's moving on. To by the way, a quick mention of rest in peace, Pete Rose. I also recommend Charlie Hustle. Came out a few months ago before his death, and lo and behold, he's no longer with us. But that's the other recommendation. But moving on. Because what we got next? We got music, don't we, Johnny? Your favorite part.
Yes, and this time it's a couple of quite famous individuals, so I'm quietly optimistic. Are we going to hear a little extract first of all?
Yes. Now, so I didn't know about this, but Bob Dylan wrote in 1975 a song about Catfish Hunter, about him going from the Oakland A's. I figured I was trying to find a song about the Oakland A's, and I stumbled upon this, which I never even knew existed. Bob Dylan wrote this song about Catfish Hunter, the famous pitcher who played for the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees. And here's a little excerpt of Catfish by Bob Dylan.
Nobody can throw the ball like Catfish can. Come up where the Yankees are. Dress up in a pinstripe suit. Smoke a custom-made cigar. Wear an alligator boot. Catfish. $1 million man. Nobody can throw the ball like Catfish can.
I gotta say, you know, Bob Dylan, one of the great songwriters, et cetera, et cetera. This one wasn't doing it for me because I don't think he can sing the blues. It definitely has a great blues riff to it, but it just feels like a hokey novelty song out of his mouth. I know that sounds like total sacrilege,
Now,
but
I know what you
where I'm
mean
going.
because I like Bob Dylan and I don't think this is one of his greatest works. Now,
No.
but here's the thing. Joe Cocker of all people, actually a year later, 1976, covered this song in one of his albums, and made a different version. Well, the same lyrics, but put his own twang to it. And here's an excerpt of Joe Cocker singing "Catfish."
Lazy stadium night. Catfish on my start through the umpire city. Better have to go and sit down.
I'm with JC in terms of Big Bobby Dylan. Wasn't exactly his finest work. I thought that was a better version. Mind you,
Ah,
I'm a
jeez.
big fan of Joe.
I've
No,
always hated
I love
Joe
Joe
Cocker.
Cocker.
No. Only Joe Cocker can turn a 2 minute and 51 second song into like almost a 6 minute song.
It sounds like Gouldie with
No wonder you like Joe
Don't
Cocker.
you nod, Lingle. Don't you dither.
I
You're a man who loves to use
gotta
10 words
say,
when one'll do.
his voice is better for this. It's more soulful, but I'm not
Yeah.
feeling the arrangement. Like, I just don't like the arrangement on this
What
one.
does
Yeah.
that even mean? I'm not feeling the arrangement. What are you, some
It,
lovey?
it, yes, I've, I, you know.
I don't feel the arrangement. I'm not
Hello,
feeling the
JC, you're a
arrangement. You
jock.
should put that on your gravestone. I don't feel the arrangement.
The flower arrangement.
Yeah, I don't feel the flower arrangement.
Now, okay, so that's we'll let our viewers and our listeners decide, you know, which version of Catfish Hunter do you prefer, the Bob Dylan version or the Joe Cocker version, or neither? Judge
Okay.
for yourself. We'll leave a link and all that kind of stuff, and we'll play one of the songs in its entirety at the end of the recording. But moving on, there's more because 17 Stretch has a lot more to offer than just me. It is Josh Chetwynd as well, isn't it,
It is
Johnny?
indeed. JC, our very popular section this season only, Josh's House of Cards. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, so for this episode, I'm going to do a very obscure card set that I really like. It is the 1935 Shutter Johnson set. This is what it looks like. I got to get out of the light. And it basically takes players and
Wow.
explains aspects of the game. And so you'll have a little explanation in the back. They had so many great stars in this set. Christy Mathewson's in this set. Babe Ruth's in this set.
Carl Hubble.
Rogers Hornsby's in this set. But the player I am talking about is a player who you all should know based on his legendary feats. But I wonder whether any of you even know him by name. And that is this young man. Well, he's not young anymore. He's passed. Fred Marbury. Anybody, any of you guys know Fred Marbury?
Nope.
Doesn't ring a bell.
No go. Furpo Marbury. So he was nicknamed Furpo. He was nicknamed after Louis Furpo, a very famous boxer of that era who knocked out Jack Dempsey. And why is Fred Marbury so famous? Because he was the first great relief pitcher in Major League Baseball history. Okay, he is
Okay.
the first pitcher to ever throw 50 games as a relief pitcher in a season, first ever to throw 300 games as a relief pitcher, only pitcher in the history of baseball to lead the league in saves six times. He was really the first ever relief pitcher. And of course, back then, they were three innings, four inning saves. Now, let's keep in mind he pitched from 1923 to 1936. So the save did not exist during his career. It only became a major league stat in 1969. So all his success was retroactive. People didn't realize it. But Fred Marbury ranks seventh all time in WAR for relief pitchers, higher
Wow.
than Trevor Hoffman, higher than Lee Smith, both Hall of Famers. And
Wow.
he was also the prototype of what we expect from a great closer nowadays. He was big by standards of that era. He was 6'1", 210 pounds. He was nicknamed Furpo because just like Louis Furpo, the boxer, he would go onto the mound with a huge scowl on his face. And much like his card, which talks about his Rays ball, which was a sort of a rising fastball, he was known for the heater. He threw a really good fastball. Later in his career, he mixed in the change and the curve, but he was, you know, as we'd expect from a reliever, a guy who threw gas. So here's a guy who three people I'm here with didn't even know, never got real consideration for the Hall of Fame, but in my mind, deserves to be legendary and quite honestly, deserves consideration as a trailblazer in this sport. Also won a World Series in 1924 as the closer for the Washington Senators. So great career, famous guy to me, but really should be better well known.
I like that. What a
First of
great
all,
story.
that's a
That's
great. I want to
great.
thank Josh. I want to thank you for bringing him to my. I'd never heard of him. That's an amazing story. And I guess my question for you is, can they go back and try to, you know, through the scorecards and everything that we have and all the data and try to figure out how many saves he would have had they kept those statistics?
Yes, and they do. That's how we know that he led the league in saves six times
Oh,
because they did
I
retroactively.
see. I see.
He was
So
also.
how many career saves do we know? How many career saves does he have? Do you know?
I've seen two different records. One is at 99, one is at 101. But he was
Okay.
the first pitcher ever to have 20 saves in a season as well, too.
Wow.
Wow. I like that
Fantastic
story.
I love that. I love that.
He should be in
David's
the Hall
great.
of Fame.
I agree. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, based on, and I realize some of his WAR was made. He did start 186 games in his career, but pitched
Right,
over 500. So he
right.
was, you know, a mix.
He's like John Smoltz.
To me, he deserves consideration. He deserves to be better known. And if nothing else, he is the trailblazers for all closers who went after him.
That's great. Thank
Pioneer, a
you.
pioneer. Yes.
Love it. Love
All
it.
right,
Right.
I'm gonna write the Hall of Fame and tell them that.
I'm sure they'll
Because
listen.
that'll have such an impact, though.
Yes, it
Seriously.
will.
Right. We've got a trivia answer.
Yes, we do enjoy.
Wait a
Actually,
minute. What's the question? I want to know.
the question I asked these guys, David, was which of these four batters, I'll give you four choices,
Okay.
led the league in strikeouts this season? Okay. People don't realize this. Was it A, Brian De La Cruz, B, Ellie De La Cruz, C, O'Neill Cruz, or D, Aaron Judge?
Oh,
So, who would like to go
this is a
first? Let's go,
setup.
Johnny. Johnny,
Go
you go
ahead.
first.
I am pretty damn confident that I know this.
Go on.
I know this is going to shock you. And I'll tell you why, because I had him in my one of my two major fantasy teams. And
Okay.
for the first couple of months of the season, he was almost single-handedly putting me at the top of the pile.
Yeah, go
And
on.
that is, of course, the legendary Red Shortstop. And I know for a fact that he stole over 100 bases. I know for a fact that his home run total, I don't think it quite got to 40, but it was right up there. So an amazing power speed ratio. But he also struck out like a superstar. I don't think his average was much more than, I don't know, 245 around there. So I'm pretty confident that I'm going to go with Ellie De La Cruz,
David,
the
who are you
Red
gonna go
Shortstop.
for?
This seems like a, you know, it's either Ellie De La Cruz or Judge. Now the question is Judge there to throw you off the trace, or is Judge there so obvious? You know, I'm going to go with you're trying to throw us off the, you know, but the super obvious one. No way it could be Judge. It's too obvious. I'm going to go with Judge.
Good
Okay.
logic. Josh?
It always pains me when Gouldie is right, but I'm almost 100% sure it's Ellie De La Cruz.
Well, let's look at the numbers, shall we?
What's the answer?
Brian De La Cruz is not the answer.
We knew that.
Aaron Judge got 171 strikeouts. Brian De La Cruz got 170. O'Neill Cruz
Ooh.
got 181. Ellie De La Cruz got 218 strikeouts
Wow,
to lead the league.
insane.
218
Two hundred and eighteen
strikeouts. That's
strikeouts.
insane.
And
That is
it was still
rare, man.
useful. And it
What
was still useful.
sport are we playing anymore? Is this baseball? I don't know.
Honestly. Yeah.
Hey, I mean,
So,
what a triumphant. What a hat trick. Over 200 strikeouts,
he
almost
still
40
steals
home
100
runs,
bases.
and over
I
100
remember
bases.
when strikeouts were humiliating. I went a whole season in the British League without a strikeout. And that was a badge of honor for me. Like, you know, striking out is you just got beat. But that's not how hitters approach your batting anymore.
But Jesse, should we clarify that every time you got to a full count, you just used to lean that little elbow in,
Oh,
take
I
one
would
for the
do that.
team?
0-2, I'm doing that. Yeah, it didn't have to be full count.
By the way, they say you can't steal first base, but it doesn't matter to Ellie De La Cruz because he still steals 100 bases and strikes out 218 times.
That's
So, I mean,
true.
what was his percentage? Like, he must have had like, what, 85%
Hey.
success rate or something? I mean,
True, but
like,
you still pick him up on your fantasy team, as you know. So there you go.
Dave,
and
he wins you the
I
stolen
think
base
Torres, the
category on
Mets
his own.
catcher, threw him out, by the way. Torres, the Mets catcher, he threw him out. I
Okay,
saw it.
back to the Mets. Back to the Mets. What a
I
surprise!
saw it. As opposed to
Anyway,
going
so
back to the Braves.
there's a good way to end the season with Johnny finally getting an answer right. So there we go.
Yay.
We knew it was going to happen before the season. And I love the fact that JC is pained when he has to admit that he's agreeing with me. But thank you, Dave, for getting it wrong. So at least it wasn't all three of us being right.
No
Anyway,
worries. My
let's move it
pleasure.
on. Right, guys, we need you to pump us up big time on the Johnny and Josh show, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, you know it. We're on YouTube as well. So do subscribe to that. It's all at the bottom of the screen. And do check out the Nat Coombs show at the NC show, which is
Johnny.
obviously if you're into the NFL. Yes, Dave.
Johnny, can I interrupt you for one second?
Yep.
I didn't get to go on the podcast this year a lot, so I just have two things to say.
Yeah.
One, MLB waiting that long to get anything on the front page about Pete Rose, complete and total disgrace.
Yep.
They're a disaster. And I just want to say, the owner of the Oakland A's is a complete and total disgrace and a complete disaster. And shame on that guy. And I hope he has nothing but long, tedious failures in Sacramento and Las Vegas. And I hope the Gap goes out of business and his family lose every penny.
I love that you are the social conscience of this podcast, Dave. That's what we've been missing.
And it was like I said, I was unsettled by your positivity. I feel much better now. I feel like
there you go.
Blanket has been put over me.
Dave's
back.
Back.
Well, David, that's I know and
love. Give us a moment wrapping this up. We are having to wrap this up very quickly. Can we just quickly tell everybody, what are you off to, Dave, during the off season? What are your plans? Anything exciting you could share with us?
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping to go to a Knicks game.
Okay.
That's my plan.
That's your plan. Okay. JC, some more curling?
Lots of curling still left ahead of me. Yeah. Some Love travels it. On the World Curling Tour.
When do you age out of curling? When do you get too old for curling and like, I can't do it anymore? I just can't.
I'm actually playing at the U.S. Senior National Championships this year. So, you know, you always find your level, Dave. Like, if you haven't learned that by now, man, I'm always looking for my level.
Yeah, that's for sure. I have no level to go to. So yeah. Like, I get problems.
Eric, what about you, buddy?
More hockey. More hockey, yeah. More ice hockey, that is. And then waiting for baseball season to start so I can go back to MLB game development, travel the globe, and then do stuff for TNT. MLB off the bat. We'll be back on TNT Sports here in the UK in end of March.
That's my favorite show.
As you know, my life now is all about doing these charity auctions and these events. And this season, particularly in the last 3 months, the number of people that have come up to me, like 30, 40 years old, telling me about how much they loved Channel 5 Baseball when they were students. The love is still out there, guys. They love you big time. And I said to them, check us out. We're still on the podcast. We still get together once in a blue moon. I can't thank you enough, boys, for making
Johnny,
the effort.
Johnny.
Yes, Dave.
When Eric dies, you can go to his house and find all the crap that he sent to my house and auction it off at a charity auction.
Yes, David okay. And I met up in the Yankee Stadium. He gave me all the stuff that I bought off eBay and Amazon that I used his address to save myself delivery and customs charges. So
I love it. I love it. I love
but
it.
But yes, I don't think you'll get your fee. You won't get your fee for that one. I don't think.
We've missed you, Big Dave. Fantastic stuff,
gentlemen. Have a good off season.
Yeah, enjoy. Looking forward to seeing you next year. We're going to get together next year. Please tell me we are.
Okay.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. That's
season
it from us.
Six.
Thank you for listening. Episode 5, season 5, from the boys at 5. From us all, enjoy the off season. We'll see you in April.
Or March.
Or even March.
Lazy stadium night. Catfish on the mound. Strike three, the umpire says. Batter has to go back and sit down. Catfish. $1 million man. Nobody can throw the ball like Catfish can. Used to work on Mr. Finley's farm, but the old man wouldn't pay. So he packed his glove and took his arm. And one day he just ran away. $1 million. Nobody can throw the ball like Catfish. Come up where the Yankees are. Dress up in a pinstripe suit. smoke a custom-made cigar. Wear an alligator boot. Captures $1 million man. Nobody can throw the ball like Captain Shane.